This is your Classic It's Breakfast with Jordan Curtis, and we know that diabetes is quite common in Australia and affects quite a lot of people, but have you heard of pre-diabetes? I'm joined this morning by Lisa Parkinson, accredited exercise physiologist and diabetes educator. How are you this morning, Lisa?
I'm great, thanks, Jordan. How are you?
I'm pretty good, thanks. So I guess just first of all, what is pre-diabetes?
Yeah, so pre-diabetes, as it suggests, is a condition when a person has high blood glucose levels that are higher than normal, but are not yet high enough to be classified as diabetes, so you're pre-diabetes. There are two types of pre-diabetes conditions. So the first is impaired glucose tolerance, and that's where our blood glucose levels are higher than normal, but not yet high enough to be classified as diabetes. And then there's impaired fasting glucose. And so that's when our blood glucose are levels in the fasting state, but again, not high enough to be classified as diabetes. And some people do have both. So there might be impaired fasting glucose and also impaired glucose tolerance.
So with pre-diabetes, obviously diabetes is something once you've got it, that's something you're living with. But is pre-diabetes, I guess, like you recognise the signs and you can avoid going the full way to actual diabetes?
Yeah, so for diabetes or pre-diabetes, people don't generally experience any symptoms of pre-diabetes. So, or if they do, they're so slight that they don't really notice them. And diabetes itself is often known as a ticking time bomb or a silent killer. So many people have type 2 diabetes and they don't know that they have the condition either because the symptoms aren't huge or they're not noticing them very much or putting them down to other things. And it's estimated that around 2 million Australians have pre-diabetes. And 1 in 3 will then go on to develop type 2 diabetes.
Right, okay. So it's just a matter of you may not even know that you're getting up there.
That's right. So normally, often what happens is it might be picked up in a blood test that your GP is screening you for either diabetes or perhaps something else and they've decided to add that into the mix. So it's picked up by a blood test.
Right, okay. So as an exercise physiologist, what kind of exercises then can we do if we are someone with pre-diabetes?
Yeah, so we know that lifestyle changes can help to improve our pre-diabetes state or kind of prevent us or increase the length of time until we might develop type 2 diabetes and also heart disease. So making lifestyle changes is really important to improving your health and preventing that type 2 diabetes from happening. So we want to look at weight loss, regular exercise, healthy eating, also keeping your cholesterol in check, and if you smoke, also trying to give up smoking. So when it comes to that exercise, it's a bit like some of the other conditions that we talk about. We want to do that regular exercise, aim for about 30 minutes of planned moderate intensity exercise on at least 5 days of the week. So this could be your walking, your swimming, or involve sports such as tennis and squash, where you're getting your heart rate up for that extended period of time. And with diabetes, it's a bit, the more you do, the better. So the 5 days of 30 minutes is the bare minimum. But if you're doing 60 minutes a day, you're going to get even better health outcomes from that. But then in addition to that, we always want to make sure that we're doing some resistance training as well. So working your muscles to fatigue on a couple of days of the week is important as well.
With, pre-diabetes and diabetes, someone may be gone for a checkup and they want to get screened for diabetes just to be on the safe side. What are some of the, the common factors that can cause diabetes if someone wants to, tick themselves off and make sure that they aren't at risk?
Yeah, well, so being overweight is a risk factor. Having a family history of type 2 diabetes is a risk factor. If a female that's had gestational diabetes, she has a higher risk of going on to develop type 2 diabetes. So people with those type of history, the GP will often screen them by a blood test, and that can be either a fasting blood test or they can do what's called an oral glucose tolerance test where they consume quite a sweet drink and then their blood glucose levels are taken after that to see how their body's responding and whether the insulin within their body is able to lock that glucose away or whether it's staying a bit higher than what we'd like it to be. But there are some symptoms for diabetes like increased urination, feeling thirsty all the time, among a few others that are some indicators of diabetes.
And of course, as we said, pre-diabetes isn't fall on type 2 diabetes, so it isn't the point of no return at that point.
No, that's right. So there is an opportunity for us to make some really good healthy lifestyle changes. And you might be one of those 2 out of 3 that don't go on to develop type 2 diabetes if you try and do all the right things and be as healthy as you can.
And of course, well, just avoid pre-diabetes in general and make those lifestyle changes while you can.
Exactly. Yep.
No worries.
Yeah, just don't even get to that point.
Well, Lisa, thank you so much for your time today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
That's Lisa Parkinson, accredited exercise physiologist and diabetes educator with Optimum Exercise Physiology Claire on your Classic It's Breakfast.